The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
You'll ever have those catchphrases where you say them all the time and you realize, like, that's probably not the best thing to say. I started to say, can I be honest with you? But that implies that at some point in time I'm lying to you. And so I didn't want to say that. But y'all ever had those days where, hey, let's do a do-over? You know what I mean? Like, it's amazing how many things have gone wrong in the, like, 6 hours I've been awake today. It's like, I just want to start today over. I want to go back to bed and, like, wake up again and do a do-over. But I wanted to tell you that because I think that today, as we start this service, honesty is going to be super important, all right? We got to kind of lay down some walls. We got to lay down some stuff that we've put up, and we've kind of built this barrier up, like, because we're continuing the idea of nothing else matters. And that's a tough idea because nobody likes to admit that. Nobody likes to say that. Nobody ever wants to think about the time in their life when nothing else mattered. But the reality is that all of us face those times, right? We get to different circumstances or situations that come at us and they make us feel like nothing we're doing, nothing in life really matters. And we're continuing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 today. And we're going to kind of, go through this fast and I don't know, we started out 2 weeks ago. We talked about how if our belief is not accompanied by action, nothing matters. Our faith becomes effective, but not impactful. And then last week, we talked about the idea that because of the spiritual and physical resurrection of Christ, you and I have hope. And so we start to find meaning in the resurrection, in the fact that Christ died, was buried, and rose from the dead. That gives you and I spiritual and physical life. And that starts to help us find meaning and purpose kind of in our life. And so those times when nothing matters, we can kind of lean on that. And so we're going to continue today looking through 1 Corinthians 15. And he starts back, we're going to pick up in verse 29. Paul starts out by saying this. If there is no resurrection, what will those who are baptized for the dead? What will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people being baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ our Lord, if I fought the wild beast of Ephesus with nothing more than human hopes, what have I gained if the dead are not raised? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we will die. And when you read that, it may not seem like much, but what's Paul saying? Listen, if all that life has is this moment right here, if all you have is today, if all you have is 60, 70, 80 years, hey, listen, you know what? Let's just eat and drink and have a good time. Let's party. Let's forget it. Nothing we do matters in life. If all you have is 60 to 70 years, what makes you think that in your 60 to 70, 80 years, anything you do is going to matter? It's not. I've got friends here from Alabama. They've already forgot who I was. I mean, I watch these kids grow up and they don't even know who I am anymore. The reality is that when we're gone, our impact kind of fizzles, doesn't it? And that's all right. And so what Paul says is, listen, if this is all we have, then there's nothing really matters. And it caused me to ask the question, why do we do what we do? Why do you do what you do? Y'all ever think about that? I have 4 kids, right? Ask myself this question constantly. The other day, I got a text message from Kelsey. She said, the girls are bringing Evie's bed into the living room. I said, why? She said they wanted to take a nap in the living room. You can't argue with that reasoning. It makes sense, right? But like watching my kids, I'm always like, were you thinking before you did this? Or like, what was your thought process that went in from like, I want to take a nap in the living room. I'm going to demolish my bed, push it out the door to get to the living room so I can take a nap. Like where was the, there's no thought process that makes sense for me with that. And so watching my kids, I always ask that question, like, why do they do those things? Any Bluey fans in here? Y'all know who Bluey is? There we are. There we go. We got some Bluey fans here. All right. Bluey, it cracks me up because Bluey is so accurate. Like, for instance, Nora loves to sing, randomly. Like, it could be, oh, there's tissues in the chair. Like, that could be Nora's song. That's what Bluey does. Bingo, her little sister, can't walk straight. I don't know if y'all have ever watched my Evie. Evie can't walk with one foot in front of the other. It's this number, it's jumping over cracks, it's running, it's spinning. She can't walk like this. That's what Bingo does in the show Bluey. And it caused me to like think, why do my kids do these things? Like, why? And then I look at my life sometimes and I'm like, why do I do the things I do? Why did you get up and come this morning? Like, what? Your alarm went off, I'm sure. Maybe something woke you up, you stirred, but like, what made you decide, all right, I've got to get a shower, I've got to shave, I've got to brush my teeth, hopefully you brush your teeth, I got to do all those things, I got to put clothes on, I've got to get in a car, I've got to drive to church, I've got to get to church, I've got to come in, I've got to sit in my chair. Why did you do that? Paul talks about, as for us, we endanger ourselves every single hour. Paul faced danger every hour, and he willingly went in and did these things. And the only reason he gives is because the resurrected power of the Holy Spirit working in his life awakened something inside of him that made him realize that what he does matters. And the same thing is true for you and I. What you do matters. The reason you do the things you do, hopefully, is because the resurrected power of the Holy Spirit is working in your life, spurring you on to do things that you're supposed to do, or to not do things that you're not supposed to do. We talked about that on Wednesday night. By the way, if you're not a part of our Wednesday night Bible study, you're missing out. It's awesome. We talked about that on Wednesday night, though. The power of the Holy Spirit working in your life is it pushes us to do things we're supposed to do and then holds us back from doing things we're not supposed to do. The other thing he talks about here is, how do we face what we face? He talks about in verse 31 through 32, if I face death every day, if I fought the beast of Ephesus with nothing more than human hopes, what have I gained? And face is an interesting word there. Because if I say the word do, what does that imply? Action. Thank you. Oh, man. I never know where that answer is going to go. Action, right? I'm doing something. I'm actively doing it. Now, but the word face, what does that imply? Somebody said something. About to do something? Okay. Seeing? It's something coming at you, right? If I'm going to face something, it means that I'm going to look at it as it approaches me. Interesting, because doing is something you do. Facing is something that's done to you. How do you face what you face? As a follower of Christ, how do you face what you face? You say, well, what do you mean? I told you guys a couple weeks ago, my temper with my kids was getting really bad, right? I had that confession to you. I've noticed that since I had that confession to you, God's doing something in my heart. And that moment before I get super mad and I lose it and I start screaming and you can hear me all across Lake Caddo, like, God says, hey, you need to walk away. You need to calm down. And it's the idea that in the Holy Spirit working in my life is doing something inside of me. And so we talk about this. How do you face what you face? Anybody got difficult circumstances in their life? Anybody ever been through difficult circumstances? Anybody ever, you lost a loved one, a parent? You've got that doctor's appointment that man, the news that you got wasn't good. You got that pink slip from that job that you really loved. And you're sitting there and you're looking at this monumental obstacle that's in your way. And you didn't do anything to cause this. This isn't all of your making. This isn't a choice that you made. This is just something that life is barreling down your throat. How do you face that? Paul says it's the resurrected hope of the Holy Spirit working in your life that helps you face that. How does he face this stuff? How does he do these things? It's because of the resurrected power of the Holy Spirit working in his life that gives him the peace, the confidence, the courage to face the things that he faces. It causes him to have hope in the things that he has hope in. He says, if all we have is human hope, then nothing else matters. But the truth of the matter is, as Christians, do you and I just have human hope? No.
Man, we've got something so much better. We've got something phenomenally better. And it's because of the hope that you and I have in Christ, the resurrected hope that we have in Christ, that we've realized that we have far more to live for. You realize your life, man, the resurrected hope that you have in your life gives you something far more to live for than everyone else in the world. But we're also dealing and we're surrounded by people who all they have is human hope. Y'all know what I mean by that? How many of you, anybody ever get advice from their friends? You get advice from your friends? Is it good advice or bad advice? Good advice. Okay. I'd say, I must be like, either I'm a bad friend or I give bad advice because like not a lot of people come to me for advice. But like, you ever get the wrong advice from the wrong person? You know what I mean by that? Like, I'm trying to think of, for instance, I can't think of one right now, so it doesn't matter. But like, you get advice. How many of you guys would go to somebody who's like bankrupt, living in, you know, like a homeless person, and say, "Hey, can you give me financial advice? I'm really struggling with my checkbook this month. Can you help me figure it out?" No, why? Because they may not be the best at handling funds. Or you want to go to somebody who, like, I don't know, they make the most disgusting mac and cheese chili mac. Don't ever ask me to make chili mac. I can't do it. So if you come to me and you ask me how to make chili mac, don't follow my instructions. Why? Because I'm the wrong person to give you that advice. Not everyone that you and I encounter has the eternal hope that you and I have. And so we have to be careful not to follow people who don't have the same hope and the same expectations that you and I have. Why? Because they're going to lead us in a different direction than what we're going. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought to and stop sinning. For there is some of who are ignorant of God. I say this to shame you. Y'all ever find yourself as a Christian taking advice from non-Christians on how to live? Doesn't that seem backwards? I know when I was growing up, I used to think that everybody else had fun and Christians couldn't. Like, it was against the rules to have fun as a Christian. You know what I mean? Because you couldn't smoke, you couldn't dip, you couldn't drink, you couldn't party, you couldn't do any of this stuff. All the fun people got to do that stuff. You just had to sit and read your Bible. That's what it meant to be a Christian. It was fun. And I realized what I was doing is I was looking at them for fun. I was letting them determine what was fun in my life instead of realizing, hey man, listen, I get to be the one who sets the bar for fun. I've got eternal hope. I've got something different inside me that causes me to live differently. And so I don't have to look at you and say, I want your life, because I've got something way better in my life than what you have. And so I get to be the one who sets the bar for this is fun. I get to be the one who sets the bar for this is what I want to do. All right, we got to keep going. We got a lot to get through. All right. Be careful who you follow. Verses 40 through 41, or 30, well, yeah. We'll start at 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come from life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body. That will be just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he is determined. Each kind of seed is given to his body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of an earthly body is another. The sun is one kind of splendor, the moon another, the stars another, and the stars are different from star in splendor. Now, lots of words. What's he mean? Do what? Everything's different, right? How many of y'all have ever done this? You watch your neighbor's car, and that's the car you got to get. You know what I mean? Or you watch your neighbor's, I don't know, kids. You wish your kids acted more like your neighbor's kids.
Or you watch your neighbor's job and you're like, man, that guy's a knucklehead. How did he get that job? I should have that job. What this whole section is talking about is this. You've got to shine your splendor. Nobody else can shine your splendor. Anybody ever look at people and you say, man, I wish I had their life? Like they've got Omar. This is my buddy Omar. We met a couple months ago. I like Omar's life. Omar was talking to me. He goes to the gym and works out. I'm like, I remember when I used to go to the gym and work out. And that was 4 kids ago, and I was a lot skinnier. Omar drives a cool truck. He gets to travel for work. Like, those are all things that, like, excite me. And it's like, man, I kind of wish I had Omar's life. But the reality is that Omar's life's not my life. Omar's got his life. He's got to shine his splendor in his life. I've got to shine my splendor in my life. You can't look at other people's lives and say, man, I wish I faced their circumstances. I wish I had their thing. I wish I lived with their things, because then I could really live right if I did that. The reality is God has placed you exactly where you are. Every circumstance you face, God has prepared for you specifically. Everything that God is calling you to do is yours specifically, because only you can shine your splendor. That last verse there, stars differ from star in splendor. Don't try to shine somebody else's light on your life. One of my favorite sayings of all time, you be you because nobody else can. There is not a single person in this world who can be you. You're the only one. And so what God needs you to do is he needs you to let what you're going through, the hope that he's given you through the resurrection, cause you to shine in the exact circumstances that you're in. He continues in verses, I think we're into 42. So it will be with the resurrection body. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spirit did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was dust of the earth. The second man is of the heavens. As was the earthly man, so are those of earth. And as is the heavenly man, so are those of the heavens. And just as we have been born in the image of the earthly man, so we will bear the image of the heavenly man. Again, what's all that mean? It means this. Just like your earthly body should be used to glorify God, your spiritual body should also be used to glorify God. That whole time, Paul is comparing Adam and Jesus, and he's saying, listen, in Adam, the physical body, sin was brought into the world, death was brought into the world, but in Christ, resurrection and life was brought back into the world for those things that were once made dead. And so he's saying, what you have as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, you have a physical body, yes, and now your physical body has the ability to glorify God, but you also have a spiritual body, and your spiritual being, your spiritual body has the ability to glorify God. And so what should you do with both your physical in your spiritual body? You should glorify God. Everything you do should glorify God. Your spiritual body, why you do things, how you face things. God is using your splendor, your unique set of circumstances, your physical and spiritual body to glorify himself. Now, because and I'm going to stop for just a second and explain this a little bit more. Because of the resurrection, everything you do and experience matters more. Y'all, you know what I mean by that? Everything that happens to you in life now carries significant meaning with it. Because before this, before the resurrection, before your relationship with Christ, when bad things would happen to you, guess what? Bad things happened, oh well, and you moved on. Because there was no meaning to it. There was no purpose to it. When you did something, you didn't do something because there was this spirit inside of you that was awakening dead parts that brought life to your and meaning to what you did. It was all done empty. It was done pointless. But because of the resurrection and Christ raising from the dead, your physical and your spiritual body now have hope. And that hope produces in you the fact that everything you do and experience matters way more. It matters so much that everything else pales in comparison.
And so if you and I live in the resurrected power of Christ, physically and spiritually, nothing else we do really holds a candle to that. What kind of car I drive? Man, when I think, and Mr. John, your prayer this morning, when I think about Palm Sunday, I think about what Jesus is getting ready to go through and the crucifixion and the paying for my sins. And I think about the fact that he died on a cross for my sins and he rose from the grave and then he sent his spirit to live inside me so that I can have a relationship with God through him. Can I tell you nothing else matters in the world? Nothing else matters. Now, what kind of car I drive, how big my bank account is, what shoes I wear, if I'm balding or if I've got a gorgeous set of hair, nothing matters. Absolutely nothing else matters in light of that. But at the same time, in light of that, everything else matters. You know what I mean? Because of that, the way that I get to reflect Christ, the way I get to shine his glory to the world that needs to see him, everything I do now carries so much significance. Now conversations you have with people aren't just conversations to waste time. Now jobs that you aren't jobs just to get paychecks. Now different things that you do, your marriage is not just a marriage that you get to so you can have four kids and have a happy life and live the American dream or whatever it is. Everything you do is now used by God in a very specific way to glorify him. And the only way that happens is when you and I start to understand and live in the power of the resurrected Christ. We allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life, to cause us to do things, to keep us from doing things, to encourage us, to strengthen us day in and day out, to live lives that are meaningful and impactful, so that the light that we shine in our life is useful and impactful for Christ. I don't know where to end this, but I'm going to ask you guys this. How many of y'all actually believe this? Because I'll be honest, it's church talk. Man, when I started thinking about this, and I was telling Ashley in my office this morning, I was like, man, I struggle sometimes with these things because this is really church talk. And I'm not, secret, I'm not a big church guy. Like, I don't know, I'm a pastor, I've worked in church my whole life, but like, I feel like I don't fit in with church people. Like, when I go places where church people are, I'm like, I kind of feel like the oddball, the outcast. And so these are great church terms, and the resurrection and all this stuff. It sounds so good in church. But my question is, when you get up and you walk out that door and you take a flyer for the Easter egg hunt, or you say whoever you're going to say hey to, and you go out those doors today, how many of you carry this with you when you go? How many of you tomorrow, when that person at your job who just eats you alive says that one thing to you that just makes you want to knock them out, how many of you fall back on that resurrected power of Christ to stop you from doing it? When you walk out the doors and that phone call comes from a son or daughter or loved one that, man, all they do is they just seem to deliver bad news after bad news after bad news. How many of you take the hope, the encouragement, the strength that you've got from the Holy Spirit living in your life and pass that on to other people? Y'all, this isn't just church talk. It changes everything in you and I's life when we live in this power. Because of it, nothing matters, but because of it, everything matters. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for these folks that are here this morning to worship you. God, this isn't a typical Palm Sunday sermon, and we didn't talk about palm branches or anything. But God, we talked about the resurrection. And I firmly believe that because of the resurrection, nothing else matters in the world. But God, I also firmly believe that because of the resurrection, everything we do matters. So Lord, my prayer is that you would help us to be a group of believers who live in the resurrected power of Christ. Father, that the things we do as a church for this community would be powered, inspired, driven by your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that as a fellowship of believers, that when we live our lives outside of the walls of this church, that we would be marked as people who shine your glory through the resurrected power of your Holy Spirit working in our life. God, I pray that you would just help us to take the next couple moments to worship you for who you are. God, if there are decisions on our heart or there are things in our mind that we need to just pray about, God, we would use this time to fully lean on you. Father, we love you. We thank you for this week, for Holy Week. God, because we know that next Sunday we get to celebrate all of our hope. Lord, we love you and thank you for that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.